Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
Today is an important day. Today is Father's Day. So I have a story for you. My wife and I, we came across this story together and we thought it was appropriate for today. You know, I'm sure you've heard stories in the past about someone who encounters rough times. Perhaps it's a divorce or financial hardship, or they need to purchase something and they don't quite have the money for it. And so this person generally, you heard these stories, would look for something to sell. And in really tragic situations, they have something of value and they take it to a pawn shop to receive some short-term cash. And they sell it and they meet their need that way. And you've heard maybe these stories, whether it's things like a Super Bowl ring or wedding ring, and then somebody behind the scenes comes and purchases the item. And these stories, you know, hit national news when that person then finds the original owner and returns it. Those are interesting stories. This story we came across is similar to that. It's a story of a young person who was bestowed a book, a really important book. Let's call it a Bible. And this book was bestowed by a grandfather, and the grandfather gave this book and signed their name on it. And this child had this book growing up, and somewhere along the lines of school, middle school, high school, the book was misplaced. The book was lost, perhaps even stolen. And the person goes about their life, and years later they grow up, and now they're having a family, and they're walking through the city, and they come upon a bookstore, maybe like this. It's an old reclamation bookstore, and they're looking through and looking at the aisles, and they see the books. They go to the Bible section and they see some old Bibles, and they see a Bible that looks very similar to the one they had when they were a kid. And they go, wouldn't it be nice? And they grab that Bible and open it up just to flip through the page and take a look at it. And as they flip through the page, on the front cover, there it is, their name right there. And they turn the page again. It was stuck together and didn't quite remember from years young. There it was, an inscription by Grandpa. What did it say? It said, I hope you rediscover this book someday when you're older. And it makes you think about the important things in life. What an interesting story. A story about pressing on despite the situation around you and yet discovering something maybe you've always had and had forgotten or lost. I bet there's some people here today who can relate to losing something or not having something or not achieving or attaining their full potential in life. And so we're going to talk about something very interesting today. I have a verse for you out of Leviticus, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to it. You can if you will. I have my Bible here, but lucky you, I've put it on the screen. And I want to read this to you. It's out of Leviticus chapter 25. The book of Leviticus is one that I don't turn to often. It's in the Old Testament. It's a book of law. It's what it means. God is establishing the laws for the Jewish people, the laws for the Israelites, the laws to create order in the midst of chaos, the laws to lead a righteous life at the time. Because without Jesus, this is what we needed. We needed laws in order to stay out of sin. And so in the midst of these laws, there was one specific law I want to give attention to. It's in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25. It reads, if one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sells some of their property, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this verse would stick into our minds as we teach, Lord, what you have given us, your holy inspiration, Lord, that it may pour into our soul and it may bear good fruit on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This was a commandment. You see, there were rules back then, and this commandment was set up in such a way to get us out of debt. You see, when someone went into debt and they didn't have pawn shops back then, but they had, you know, people of means, and so they would sell something of their own. It may be often property, and they would sell this when they became poor. They went into hardship because they needed the money. At that time, they didn't have Twitter and instant media, and there was no way to let everyone know, but when you sold property, that was a big deal. And it often got around from town to town. So when news hit that one of your relatives had lost their property because of hardship, you were to come to their aid and get them out of debt. This was the concept of redemption back then. The concept of kinsmen. You've heard that term, kinsmen or kinsman redeemer. This is the concept that God was setting up as brothers and sisters, as a family. In the New Testament, as a church, we're to come and to help those in need. It's why we raise offerings. It's why we give to the needy. It's why we have ministries for financial blessing. It's for these reasons. But back then, things could get really bad. That's just verse 25. If you keep reading in Leviticus, and there's a lot of laws, you're going to get to verses 47. You want to hear what that has to say? Sure. It says, suppose a foreigner or a temporary resident becomes rich while living among you. If any of your fellow Israelites fall into poverty and then are forced to sell themselves to such a foreigner or a member of his family, they still retain the right to be bought back even after they are purchased. They may be bought back by a brother, an uncle, or a cousin. In fact, anyone in the extended family may buy them back. Yeah, that's exactly what you think it's saying. It's saying the Jewish people had a situation back then when things got so bad, so ridiculously tragic, that you literally had to sell yourself as a servant to another person. And this servitude cost a price, and yet the price was on your head, could be purchased by another family member to get you out of that servitude to pay your debt. Things could get very difficult. And this set up a term, this set up a concept, one that is so important on this day that I want to share it with you. If you go back and you read the scriptures, you go back and read the Hebrew, you will find this word. It's not a word you probably see in the English language. We translate it differently. It's pronounced goel in English. In Hebrew, it's pronounced galel. This word literally means redeemer. It literally means someone to come on your behalf and to be your goel, to redeem you from the situation you are in. Are you understanding? You see, in church today, specifically charismatic church, we would say redemption is more about redeeming from sin, redeeming from some past life, redeeming from some wrongdoing. And yes, we talk a lot about the blood of Jesus Christ, and we'll get to that in a moment, and that is what redemption is about. But have you considered for a moment that the original concept of goel, the original concept of redemption, wasn't because of something that happened in the past, it was something that was happening right now and in the future. Your future was being taken away from you because of situations possibly outside of your control, and therefore you were left in a place of hopelessness. And there and then came the goel, the redeemer, to take you from the place that you are to the place where you are to be. Amen, church. How many of you today can relate? How many of you today can say, I need a helping hand. I need somebody to reach out and take me from where I am today to the place where I know I should be, where I know I can be, where I know the Lord wants me to be. Amen? Am I the only one? Church, I believe the Lord has said many things to me, promises and purposes, and we're going to get to that in a moment. I believe that this concept of goel is something that we've overlooked. It's a mystery of the scripture. I believe that the Lord wants to redeem today some of our dreams, some of our purposes, some of our futures. It may have anything to do with your past. It may have everything to do with your future. So the question today I wanted to put on the board is, has the plans for your future been lost or stolen? Like that book I talked about. Has it just been misplaced or has somebody taken it from you? I want you, as we get into the Word today, I want you to really press in. If you're going to write notes on the back of your bulletin, we provide a spot for that. If you're going to do that, I encourage you to answer one of these questions, whatever one becomes the most salient, right? What in your life has yet to come to pass that you know it would? And yet it has not. I like to think of promise, purpose, and passion. Which promise has yet to come to bear? Which purpose has not yet been fulfilled? Which passion has just disappeared? I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your Christian walk is like. God has a purpose and a passion and a promise for you. Have you forgotten about it? Has it been stripped or stolen? Perhaps because a church has closed down, because a pastor transitioned, because somebody you trusted has fell in sin, because one of your children have turned their back. Those are circumstances. And you see, to me, this has everything to do with your next level. I do not just want to start a ministry here at church just because you want to start a ministry. We're not big enough anymore. We don't have a staff of 50 where we can start 50 ministries. We just don't have it. we can only focus on those things which God is pouring his heart into, and those things are you. So the passions that you have, the inspiration that you have, are what I need to know about. I need you to move it to the next level, what God is pushing you. Very similar, Bronson, as you have stepped up and helped me run these classes of discovery and empowerment, the Lord is now taking you here at Kingsway to the next level. There was one moment you're walking out the door, the next moment you're taking us with you to the next level. Amen? And he's not the only one. There are many here among you who are ready to do the next thing. Eric is helping me work on a health seminar, a health screening, a health community outreach right here in Kingsway's facilities, right here on Kingsway's property for the whole community. God has inspired him. And there are others. I could go. I don't have time. Each and every one of you has been inspired for something. What is your next level? I need to get into the word Ruth 1 through 3. Now, Ruth is an interesting story. Ruth is something I often talk about on Mother's Day. Ruth is an amazing, amazing story. And you know, it really blew my mind when I looked back, because I've preached on Ruth before. The last time I preached on Ruth was exactly 1 year ago today, in the midst of the tragedy we were having around the world. And we talked about Ruth, and today I want to bring it again to the fore for a different purpose. Let's read with me, would you? So I'm going to start in Ruth 1, verse 5, and I'm going to skip around. I put the verses on the screen. You have your Bible open if you want to skim to it. That's fine, but I want to just read these in this particular order. You see, Ruth was about a story of Naomi and her husband, who one day, Naomi and her husband moved their business, and it was a successful business with two strapping young men. And in the midst of that business, one day they came home for dinner, and they set the table, and there was no husband. He had passed away, gone in the blink of an eye. Tragedy had befall Miss Naomi. A widower she was. Her strapping young men get married, and they pull their family together, and they begin to pull together the business, and they're doing a wonderful job. And in the course of 10 years, which isn't that long, both, not one, but both young men pass away. Naomi, a widower, and now her two daughter-in-laws, both widowers. And you have this verse. This left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. The point of this verse is, regardless of your situation, regardless of where you are today, regardless of what you're thinking about, what God can or cannot do, he has a purpose for you. Naomi understood this purpose and began to seek it out. So it skips on to Ruth, verse 1:16. You see, she says, Naomi, to her daughters, one of them were named Ruth, and she says, daughters, go and find yourself husbands. Go and find yourself a family. I could do you no good. Go, and then with a little bit of debate and a little bit of prayer, one of them decides to go. And Ruth, at that moment, one of the daughter-in-laws says this, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. What perseverance, church. And this isn't even from a Christian. She was a Moab woman. This was not a woman who understood the God of Naomi. And yet she saw something in her. She saw something so pure in Naomi. A passion, a purpose, a promise. She was willing to follow her despite her own life. Some of you today are following Christ because of family, because of lineage, because of some promise you've kept. And you're wondering, what is in it for me? What is my next level? Naomi was saying, I'm going to serve God no matter what. I tell my kids, the only thing I want them to know, the only thing I need them to know, from now to the day that they are not remembering very much on their deathbed, I say to them, the most important thing in the whole wide world, and everyone will tell you, is to live for Jesus. It's nothing more important. And that's what Naomi was doing. Ruth said, I will do whatever I can for you. There's something about you. Okay, let me keep going. The story gets good. See, Ruth, chapter 2, verse 6, it now shows something also interesting. It says, she asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except only for a few minutes. Context, young woman, lost her husband, lost her father-in-law, is now moving to a foreign land, and is now put on the field to work day in and day out. Some of us feel as though when tragedy befalls us and we pray and the pastor prays for you, that all of a sudden life is going to be glorious and it's all going to be turned around in the blink of an eye. What Christianity is that? Please show me. What verse are you pointing to? I want to see that one. I'll preach that one every Sunday. That's not the one I read. I mean, I could share stories of instant healing, but even in the midst of instant healing, God is saying, let your life be whole and renewed and restored. It is not just the healing, but the life. And here's a situation where God was concerned about her and her entire life, so she had to work hard at work, doing what she knew not, doing it for a purpose, doing it for a promise that Naomi would take care of her, that this God that Naomi served would somehow support her. And so she worked hard. Church, in the midst today of what you're going through, are you working hard at finding God? Are you opening your word? Are you listening to his worship? Are you coming to class on Sunday or Wednesday? We now have more than enough availability for you to attend, except for a few minutes. Here's where it gets interesting. I needed to say all that to get you here. Ruth, verse 20 of chapter 2. Verse 20 of chapter 2, yeah. He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. Context. In between those verses, she was hard at work, and she has a foreman who's just saying, you're going to have to work hard for every little penny that you get. Word got out to this man named Boaz, and Boaz came to Ruth to watch what she was doing. And Naomi, the mother-in-law, saw this and said, oh, another strapping man who happens to be a family member on her side. This man may help us. This man may redeem you. This man is one of our closest relatives. This is Naomi, the mother-in-law, recognizing something. This was the word that was used. She said, Boaz will be your Goel. That meant something very specific to her. Ruth realized, wow. Regardless of my circumstances, there's someone out there that cares about me and my future and could redeem me. You'll see this word used more in Ruth than any other book in the Bible, because here it is again. Now Ruth herself says, when she meets Boaz, she comes to Boaz and lays at his feet, and she says, I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your blanket, your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer. You are my Goel. Ruth said it. Naomi said it. Now look what happens. Boaz says, I will redeem you. I will be your Goel. Three people, Naomi, Ruth, and now Boaz, all confirming the redemption story of Ruth. Now you may be wondering, where am I going with this? I needed to say all that to get you to the point of this message. Do you understand what a Goel is now? A redeemer. One that was coming by the commandment, by the law. It was set up so that he could come and restore somebody from the tragedy that has befallen them. Whoever you are, wherever you are, and however you feel today, God is redeeming your future. God is a story about redemption. God is constantly crafting a story about redemption. From the very beginning of the first laws he created, he set up redemption as a core tenet in what he is doing. Goel is part of your future. He wants to redeem your future. He does not want you to be a lost cause. He wants to redeem that cause. He does not want your dream to be stolen. He wants to redeem that dream. He wants you to have the momentum for the next level, church. So I want you to think today, what is it? What promise, what purpose, what passion do you need restored today? Because there is a Goel. Talk a little bit more about it, Sean. Sure. That part that I just walked you up to was the part of education that you needed. Now you are going to see the spiritual mystery that he is just so excited to share with you as I am today. You see, it goes here in Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. You start to see now, not Naomi, not Ruth, not Boaz, but all the people around her starting to see the redemption story. God does not want to redeem you in private. He doesn't redeem you by a promise of mom and dad or by the promise of a pastor. Sure, God will confirm it in mom and dad. God will confirm it with the pastor. God will confirm it with your relatives. God will confirm it with the people. The people, the woman of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord who has now provided a Goel for your family. May the child be famous in Israel. The people started to realize and start to see the testimony that was in Naomi's life, in Ruth's life, and she began to be redeemed. The people have now seen it. And here's where the story transforms, church, because there's another word there. I didn't make it yellow, but it's the word that caught my attention for today. May this child be famous in Israel. In order to have a child, you must have a father. This is the story, church, about a goel. And as I read about it, the Lord made it so clear to me that a goel is something very specific. It's about fatherhood. And so today, with the time I have left, I want to talk about fatherhood redeemed. There are many qualities about father that you'll hear on Father Day sermons. You'll hear about strength, and you'll hear about providing and protection. And I've preached about those in the past. But today I want you to hear about a different quality, a quality that was set in stone from the beginning, a quality about fatherhood that is so very compelling, the quality of redemption. God implores fathers to be that redeeming voice in your child's life, to be that redeeming voice in the family's life, to be that stoic power in the midst of the family to say, we will get through this, we will find a way. The redemption of fatherhood to their children and to their family is important. And some of you may say, well, that's not how my father was. Some of you may even say, that's not how I am to my children. And this is where the story takes a turn. This is where everyone who has a father, everyone who's here today, which everyone does have a father, can understand Happy Father's Day and appreciating their father. But it's more than just your biological father. The story of the goel has nothing to do with biological fatherhood. It has to do with substitute fatherhood. Do you see, Boaz was not the father of Ruth or his children, and he came and became a substitute father. He came and created a new line, a new redemption story in Ruth's life. It's substitute fatherhood. It's a very interesting concept, this concept of goel and father substitution. It's happened lots in Scripture, but no more than it's happened in the line of Judah. You see, Judah was the first to do it. You've heard of Judah. He's the son of the tribes of Israel. And Judah, he married Tamar, which was a widower. So Judah married a widower, and he had a child. And that child had a line, and in that line was Boaz. Boaz then found a widower, married that widower, and had a child. And in that line was a man named David. Now, we've talked about this before. The point I'm making here right now is King David, one of the most amazing stories in the Scripture. My wife said, when I told her this, she goes, you mean David, like David and Goliath? Yeah, that David. As in King David, as in David and the lions, and David and the bear, and David and Goliath, and David and the army, and David and Saul, and the whole David who became the king of the Jews. He would not be King David if it wasn't for the law of Goel. Do you see how important it is today? Do you see? Let's keep going. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 11, it says this, we are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, for whom all the nation of Israel descended. May you be famous. This is the crowd talking to Ruth, talking about her coming into her home and the children that she have being famous. And we talked about this being famous. We know that that prophecy came true because she ultimately gave birth to David through the lineage. King David only existed through this law, but here's where it gets really interesting. Look where it happened. Boaz was from Bethlehem. Boaz was a substitute father in Bethlehem that gave rise to King David. There is another goel. There is a third goel in the line of Judah. There are three substitute fathers that are important. Three in Scripture that we hear about. Three in the line of Judah. Judah, Boaz, and one more. And that one more substitute intervention happened in the same place Ruth was redeemed. It happened in Bethlehem. Do you remember this story here? This is the nativity. There was one more goel. There was one more redeeming father. God himself, God the Father, came once again to intervene into our lives. He came once again to be the substitute father, intervening for a third time in the line of Judah. Right here he did it. Now, when you look at that, you may say, well, I don't understand. You know, there is Joseph and the baby, and she wasn't a widower. So how possibly did God redeem us at the nativity? Well, if you understand this word goel, it becomes very easy because now we can go through Scripture and look at it in Isaiah 41:14. It says, don't be afraid, people of Israel, for I will help you. I am the Lord, your Redeemer. Now, we translate it as Redeemer. You can look through all the translations, NIV, NLT, King James Version. You're going to hear some flavor of the word Redeemer, but the original Hebrew was not Redeemer. If you go back and look at it, it says, I am the Lord, your Goel. I am the Holy One of Israel. Do you understand today? The widower was Israel. The widower was all of us. We, as creation, we're the ones that are hopeless. We are the ones that are cut off. We are the ones that did not have a hope. We are the ones who lost our future because of sin. We are the ones without a future. We needed redemption. We needed a goel. We needed someone to redeem us, to restore us. We needed a substitute father. Church, God, on the day of Bethlehem, of the Nativity, decided to come out of heaven and to provide us with Jesus Christ and Him Himself be the substitute Father for all of humanity. God today is our Father in heaven who wants to redeem us, church. Where does Jesus fit into this? Maybe now you'll see the whole story. Maybe this is too much for you on Father's Day, but I need to give it to you. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. You may have heard this verse before, but now, maybe now you can figure it out, because when the Goel comes and the Goel needs to redeem, there is a price that needs to be paid. There's a price that needs to be paid to the one that's enslaving, to the one that is in serving. There needs to be a price in exchange. What was that price for all humanity? A ransom for many. It could only be one thing: Jesus Christ and His blood. That was the debt He was paying back, church. But church, often we think to ourselves that this debt is just a debt of sin. And yes, it is. He paid the debt of sin. He paid the debt of death. He paid the debt of sickness so that we may be redeemed from death and sickness. We may be redeemed from the enemy, church. But redemption from the enemy does not just mean our past. He is roaring like a lion to destroy your future today, church. And the Goel is live and well today. And He is moving as the Holy Spirit broods in this church to allow you, as we heard this morning through His word, to restore your health, to restore your future, to restore a place in His will and way for you. I know this is a lot to consume. I know there's a lot of teaching. I don't want to inundate you with too much today. I wanted to somehow share with you the redemption story. And I asked the Lord, but it's Father's Day. There's the redemption story and Father's Day. You know, how sad would it be for me to talk about a father giving away his son? And He said, you don't understand the way I set it up from the beginning. There must have always been a Goel. I didn't even know what the word meant before yesterday. You see, God is speaking to us today. And He is sharing the verse. And He is saying to each and every one of you who feels like you're not sure what the next step is. You're not sure why your future hasn't turned out quite like you thought it. You're not sure why the church isn't as great as you think it should be. You're not sure why your ministry isn't as powerful as it should be. You're not sure why your Bible reading isn't as inspired as it should be. You're confused at why you are not the man or woman of God that you think you should be. You're at this place today, church, and you're wondering, where is my future? Has Satan stolen it? Has circumstance stolen it? Has sin stolen it? Has just the trials of life beat us down and stolen it? Your Father in your life, whether good or bad, should be a constant reminder that there is the ability to breed new life. And God, our Father, has put the seed inside each and every one of us as the word of God to grow fruit inside of you to prosper. He has plans for you that are good. Plans for you to prosper, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future, church. But some of you need to be redeemed. So when you go back and you think about this verse in Leviticus 25:25, and you think about the law and the commandment that He set up at the beginning of time, I now want you not to think about this verse the way it is. I want you to think about the next level. I want you to think about what God has for you and you have yet to attain. I want you to allow God to become your Goel. I want you to let Him redeem you. I want you to accept His redemption story for your future. I want you to let Him to restore your momentum. How am I 100% positive He can do that? Ephesians 1 verse 7. It says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom. That he purchased our freedom. Maybe, church, now you can get a hold of what you're enslaved to. You're not enslaved to God. You're not enslaved to man. You're enslaved to the sin of this world and the way it is set up. And without a goel, we will constantly be beat down, underestimated, and underserved. But with a goel, church, we can rise again. Amen.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with His people, His purpose, and His power. God bless you.